Happy Sunday and welcome everyone to episode 55 of Video Game Club. As always, I am your host, Tyler, and I have with me today the man behind the curtain, the wizard himself, Andron.
Hello.
Hello, Andron. From behind the editing booth.
Well, I think he's inside the editing booth.
Oh yeah, inside, yeah. On the ones and twos, all those things. And it would not be, of course, a Video Game Club episode without Miss Mono Mox.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if that's good or bad this time.
That's the girl's name. I don't know.
I know. Is it good or bad, though?
Who knows? we'll find out. How's everyone doing? Good.
Pretty good.
Andron, I am curious, what have you been playing besides Shadow of the Colossus?
Sure. So I'm bad about completing games most of the time. But I've been playing through Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Did you beat 2?
Yeah, so I beat 2. I literally had to take like a 3-month break, then come back, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna finish it. I finished it. I'm 120 hours into 3.
Oh my god.
And I don't think I'm even like halfway through all the side quests. So it's taken a while. And I started Bayonetta recently because I saw 3 was coming. It's like, I should have been playing this game. And then, of course, I'm still playing Final Fantasy 14 because,
of course.
Yeah, they got the island and everything now. So pretty fun.
I haven't beaten the Endwalker yet to unlock it. I savor the campaign and I've been savoring it so much and it's not worth it.
Aw.
Damn.
Xenoblade Chronicles 3, though, did you play the definitive edition as well?
No. I played 1. I never finished 1 on the Wii. I didn't want to pick up
Torna.
I tried playing Torna, then I was like, I already played like 300 hours in 2. I'm good. It was just too much.
Wow.
I'm a big RPG fan, so I've been trying to finish them all, but it's pretty hard.
What about X?
Yeah, have you played X?
I played through a lot of X, and then I was like, this combat sucks. So I just stopped after a while.
Oh, wow. I hope they bring X to Switch in some capacity, because I really do want to play that one. I haven't played it yet. And now with the whole... That game was on Wii U, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was on Wii U, and I thought they were talking about releasing it on Switch, but...
And I'm pretty sure with the servers down and stuff, with the whole Nintendo eShop stuff where they discontinued 3DS and Wii U, I'm pretty sure you can't download, like, there was like a really big patch for it, so it's like very difficult to play now
to get it. Yeah.
What have you been playing, Mox?
Don't judge me.
No judging here.
The Disney Dreamlight Valley game.
I've been playing it. No judging.
Judgment.
It's so cute and fun. I'm not a Disney adult, and I don't really. Like, I haven't seen every of the Disney movie, every Pixar movie, but it's like someone who is a fan of Animal Crossing works at Game Loft, I think is what it is, and was like, I have this opportunity to make this game better than Animal Crossing, and has done it.
And really?
It's just like...
How's the monetization, though? Because that's the only reason I didn't even look at it.
I watched Lyric play it, a Twitch streamer, and he... loved it for reasons unknown, and he has millions of dollars, and he was like, I'm tired of how long I have to wait to make my backpack bigger, and he's like, where's the pay to win? There was no pay to win. You can only buy cosmetics.
Yeah, you can only buy this like premium pass as well to like get more challenges for this, like they have almost like a battle pass type thing in it,
but they put nice things in the free side of the battle pass, quote.
Yeah.
Is it more Stardew Valley or more Animal Crossing? Because both are casual, but I don't know which way they were going with it.
It's more Animal Crossing, I think.
Yeah. But with more story and more, like, you level up each individual villager and you get things for leveling them up. And if you bring them along with you, quote unquote, hanging out, then they help you, like, get more resources as you're getting the resources. And there's... Like with Animal Crossing, I feel like I do everything that I need to in a day in like an hour or two. But this game, you can really play all day if you wanted to.
Yeah, I haven't found any really time restrictions yet. Like I haven't found that's all I can do for today. You know what I mean, Mox?
I, like even some of the characters will stay up late. Like they don't all go to bed immediately at like 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. I unlocked Wally and he's really cool. And
he's so cute.
He's my neighbor now. And man, I just love Wally so much. So it was just really nice.
He plays, what is that? The Sunday song like, from Wally that Michael Crawford sings when he's like 15.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Sorry, we can move on.
That's awesome. I've been playing a combination of, I've also been playing that game and I do really like it. I think it's interesting that Gameloft, a traditional mobile developer, they had a Disney game already on mobile, but it was more of like a, it was more of a, like, you know, the classic, like, tap here, tap here, tap here, tap here, wait, 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 tap here, tap here, grow your town, tap here, tap here. Like a Farmville type, you know, type thing. And they had the license already. And so it's interesting that they're expanding into console development. I think they also had, they also do like the Asphalt games, the like racing games as well. And those had console ports.
I didn't know if they did those. Yeah.
And those are actually, a lot of people think, you know, they're pretty good. And I played the one on Switch. I thought it was really, really fun. It's, and they already announced an update for the game too, Mox. They're doing like a Buzz Lightyear Toy Story update. Yeah, crazy.
So much good material to get from too.
Yeah, I've been playing Tome. It was part of PS Plus. It's a really cute photography game. Mox, you would really like it, I think.
I have heard of it.
And then I've been playing Sable. I love that game so much. If you like Breath of the Wild, please play Sable. I think you'll really, really like it. And then I started Shenmue 1.
What?
Yeah. And I'm on the part where you're like, have you seen the black car? Have you seen the black car? The day the snow turned to rain, the black car, I'm there. Do you know what I'm talking about, Andrew?
That game is great. Yeah, I absolutely know that. That's a great game, though. It's horrible to control right now.
Yes, it is very difficult. It's hilarious. But it's the my favorite part is when you have a conversation with someone and it's so awkward. And it's just, but it's, I don't know, I'm having a good time with it so far. I got to the part where I need to talk to like the Chinese people that are living in the town.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm very far, but it's been. It feels like a detective game with some, I haven't found any combat yet, but I know there will be some, but it feels just like a open-ish world detective game so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I would recommend practicing in the park as much as you can, just because it makes combat easier later.
Oh. Okay.
You'll see what I mean when you do that.
Oh, okay. Nice.
You guys are speaking another language. The only thing I know about Shenmue is that at the time, it was the most, it cost the most to build.
Interesting.
It's the only, I only know that because when they were doing the what is it, the raising money to make 3 or whatever, there was
a
big thing.
Yeah.
Like, really? How much money do you need?
Andron's played 3.
Played some of 3.
Ugh. Yeah. Now, before we get started, just a reminder, this is Video Game Club. It isn't some podcast where we talk about whatever we want. Where usually every 2 weeks we discuss a game voted on by our wonderful friends in the Bombchu Discord and discuss that game right here on twitch.tv/BombchuTV. If you can't catch us live, don't worry. You can find it on YouTube and all major podcast services. Thanks to Andron, making all things possible.
Thank you.
And if you appreciate what you're hearing, please consider subscribing, rating, commenting, all those fun things. Or jumping over to the Discord and let us know some of your nominations of games that you think we should check out. The nominations for this episode were Ghostwire Tokyo, Shadow of the Colossus 2018, and The Last Guardian. And Mox, before you ask, I did play some Ghostwire Tokyo today as part of Every Day Before Video Game Club. And I'm at the point where it's like, if you don't complete these side quests, you won't be able to after moving forward here. So
point of no return.
Yeah, so I'm doing that right now. Have you played Ghostwire Tokyo, Andron?
Yes, I have. I didn't abandon it, but I was trying to beat it before Xenoblade, and then Xenoblade took over my life. So,
as it is wont to do.
Yeah, 'tis a Xenoblade. So Shadow of the Colossus remake. It's a action adventure Boss Rush game, developed by Bluepoint Games. Bluepoint Games, they formed in 2006, based in Austin, Texas, and they were founded by two members of Retro Studios, which is famous for, do you guys know?
That sounds familiar.
Metroid Prime.
Metroid Prime, yep.
And Donkey Kong Country Returns? Is that the one that they made?
I think they did that, yeah.
Yeah.
So their first game was this game called Blast Factor for PS3. I've never heard of it, but they made several collections that I think people have heard of or purchased, and they made a remake recently. So they did the God of War collection, the Metal Gear Solid HD collection, the Uncharted Nathan Drake collection, and most recently they did the Demon's Souls remake for, I think it was a PS5 launch title, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And it was published by Sony Interactive Entertainment, released on February 6th, 2018 in North America, 7th in Europe, and 8th in Japan. 2018 in gaming. We had the Oculus Go, the PlayStation Mini, the PS1 Classic. Man, they were so expensive for a while, and then they dropped price to like super low. I know Austin talked about last time like buying one whenever they were super low.
What was the PlayStation Mini? I don't remember.
It was like a PS1. Like, you know how like they had like the SNES and NES Classic? Mm-hmm. It was Sony's version of that. So it's a plug and play. Yeah. Bundle of games. 2018, we saw Red Dead Redemption 2, God of War, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Fallout 76, Ni No Kuni 2, Pokemon Let's Go, AC Odyssey, and two games we played for video games club so far, if my notes are correct. Any guesses?
Firewatch.
No. You always say Firewatch.
No, I always say Axiom Verge.
Maybe Firewatch came out in 2018. I need to make that sheet. Cultist Simulator.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Death's Door? No, that was last year, wasn't it?
And I played the Katamari Damacy like remaster whenever.
Oh, that came out that year.
Reroll.
Mm. Yeah, reroll, yeah.
Wow, I do not remember that.
I think you played the original, I think, right, Mox? Around whenever we did that?
No, episode? I played reroll.
Oh, you did? You played reroll, okay.
Because, well, the one that I really like is on PS3, Katamari Forever, which is a remake of something else.
Oh, okay.
So it wouldn't be the same game.
Shadow of the Colossus remake got very positive reviews, 9s and 10s, as did the original game when it came out. People really liked about the remake specifically that it improves the experience while maintaining the spirit of the game, which is good when you're doing a remake. It's a very, like, I think Austin also talked about this before, like, it's a very one-to-one, like, remake. Like, they didn't, you know, they just tried to make it better, basically, and up to modern times. But the game, people loved the emotional storytelling, that it was a great fuse of art and interactivity, which I feel like a good video game usually is that. That it had great immersion. Things people didn't like was the horse AI and controls, which I think we'll talk about. The frame rate specifically of the original game. The game camera, Mox, which I think you'll have some stuff to talk about. And that the game was pretty short and it had very limited replay value. I know in the remake you can do like some time trial stuff and you can get some items
and there's the
from the
mirror world once you finish it, so you can like do a completely mirrored, I guess, once you beat it.
Yeah. But,
that's it's hard mode.
Yeah, true. So the remake sold 73% more than the OG game on week one, and it sold almost 22,000 copies its first week in Japan. So pretty anticipated, this remake. I think this game has a lot of nostalgia. So let's jump into our discussion where we'll talk about gameplay, what we thought about the gameplay, the visuals, audio, controls and interface, performance, and touch a bit on the story. So I already said this, but it's definitely a boss rush game and it's open world-ish. I would say it's open world. It's an action adventure game and you play in third person. You play as Wander, who is trying to resurrect a girl named Mono by defeating 16 colossi, and we'll go a bit more into that later.
Are their names made clear in the game?
I don't think
supposedly like in the credits, because I actually looked that up because I was like, well, where did that name come from? And mm-hmm. I I'm sure you're going to cover that later, Tyler, but I was like, I don't know who said these names. Oh, so in Japan, the game's called Wander and the Colossus.
Oh.
In America, it's called Shadow of the Colossus, so people know in Japan because literally the title has his name in there. But yeah, it's just a weird like translation thing. They decided Westerners wouldn't like Wander and the Colossus for some reason.
Yeah. It has to be dark and serious here.
Right. Yeah. But supposedly the credits do have their names as well,
Okay.
Which I didn't see, so I'm not sure on that. I saw the credits. I didn't see their names because I wasn't looking.
gotcha. Your player is equipped with a sword and as well as a bow, and you're accompanied by your horse, Aggro, who really is the star of the show.
Oh my god, I hate him so much.
What?
I also hate how Wander says his name.
I hate how Wander kicks him over and over again, and it's hard to understand how his speed works.
I can't blame him. The horse doesn't move.
I know, it's true. It is true. You have a health and stamina meter, which can be increased by finding in-game items. Good luck learning that, because they don't tell you about that.
Oh.
Each fight, so as you fight these large colossi, these big monsters that you have to climb on top of, or I think, oh yeah, almost everyone you have to climb on top of in some way to injure and defeat, you always start from the same point, which is this altar or this like temple type place where Mono is waiting to be resurrected. You can find out where you're supposed to go to find the next colossi by raising your sword. I don't know about you guys, but I did not get that right away. Like, it tells you that, but I didn't understand, like, how it was working, because it has, you know, like, a bunch of rays sticking out, and then it kind of, like lasers, and then it kind of, like, focuses.
Yes.
But to me,
oh my God.
If you watch my game, if you're watching the Twitch stream and you watch my gameplay, first of all, I go the complete wrong way, because I just explore. Then I decide that I think I know how the sword's working, and I don't know how it's working, and I go to a completely random place, and at the end of the footage, I finally get it. It finally clicks for me, but it takes a while. Each colossi is unique and has like a different like weakness that you need to find and a different way of defeating them. But the loop is basically find the colossi, find the weakness, exploit
Colossus.
That weakness.
Oh, I would you fight one at a time. Like,
what's the singular form of them?
Colossus. Yeah,
I thought it was colossi for one.
Colossi is plural.
Yeah, okay. It's plural.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. So you fight one colossus at a time. You find the weakness. You exploit that weakness. You stab that weakness. and then you rinse and repeat over and over again.
You forgot about clinging to dear life as it flails you around.
You do cling to dear life, for sure. But for the most part, that's the loop of the game. Is there anything that I missed that you want to touch on, Mox or Andron?
No.
There's
nothing else.
not in this section, no.
Okay. Let's talk about the visuals. So, everyone here played the remake, right? Except Austin, which will read his notes at the end. But everyone here played the remake. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
What did you guys think of it? Do you think it was like, I mean, it was released 2018, so 4 years ago. Andron, do you feel like it kind of kept, like this is like a new game that coming out would look like this. Like, do you feel like it's comparable?
Yeah. And maybe my experience is different. I think my experience would be close to yours, Tyler, or I guess everyone here actually, because I think we all have PS5s, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's a PS4 game, played on a PS5. I do have an HDR TV. So like all that made it look like amazing. Like the water and like light hitting the water with realistic light. Like it was really clean looking game. and the Colossus's fur and stuff was just like beautiful.
Yeah.
like unreal, the level of detail they did there. I expected it, I guess, because I played through Demon's Souls and it was just like amazing, but like they did a lot with what they had on PS4 anyway.
This is a little bit of a tangent, but did you play the original Demon's Souls as well, Andron?
No, I know what it looks like, but I never played it.
I was just wondering if the first one and the remake are pretty comparable as well.
Faithful as well. Yeah, I'm not sure on that. Yeah.
Mox, what did you think about visuals?
I had to put it in, like, they give you the choice of making it look pretty versus making it run quickly. And I, it was laggy for me when I put it in the pretty mode. So I had to put it in the fast mode. And it,
like,
it
below 30 frames laggy?
I guess enough that what I was already struggling with, I was like, I'm not going to struggle anymore by it not being, like, going as fast as I need it to. But in any case, it didn't look that bad being on, you know, zippy mode. And it was very, very smooth when I put it on that mode.
Performance mode.
Yes, I played on that mode as well. It looked fine. Me too.
I almost always pick performance. I think, from what I read, I think performance is a 1080p image, 60 frames, and then the other one is 4K native, I think, and 30 frames. So,
yeah,
I believe that was the difference. I do like the art style of this game. I feel like so I looked at all the other games, like I watched gameplay footage of them, and I played Last Guardian, and the other game is Ico or Eco. How do you say it, Andron?
Eco. Eco. It's one of those. Yeah.
Okay. So and the visual, like, art style of the game, all of the games kind of all looks kind of similar. Like it has almost like a, to me, like, it looks like almost like an animation look, like a almost like an anime, not cel shaded, but just the way, like, the characters look. I don't know. It has like a very unique look.
I would have to look it up, but I felt very much like if Princess Mononoke was turned into, like, a game like this, like, this would be like the next, like, the sequel to it or something like that. Cause, like, when you stab a Titan and, like, the black stuff comes out. I won't call it blood because I don't want to do spoilers. But anyway, basically, like, that spurts out, like, all those different riding around, the music, which I'm sure we'll discuss later. Like, it felt very much like what I believe a Miyazaki film would be if he directed the game directly. You know what I'm saying? So
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
I felt it was like the original Skyward Sword, where everything was just kind of blurry. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I can see some of that for sure. Absolutely. Of that blurriness, yeah. So the soundtrack was composed by Kao Otani, and he's famous for the Mobile Suit Gundam Wing anime series. He did a Godzilla movie called Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All Out Attack. And he's done this game, but he mainly does, like, movies and anime, but he did this soundtrack. And the music features a lot of, like, choir singing and organs. And it's very moody. It's very moody. And especially when you kill each Colossus, it's very, very moody. Yeah. What did you think of the soundtrack and just in general, like, overall, what you were hearing, Mox? Was it good?
Yeah.
Did it match the tone pretty well?
Yeah.
Would you listen to it on your own, like, away from the game? No.
I wouldn't.
No.
It's, like, too aggressive.
Some, like, when you're in the middle of a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good for the moment, but I don't want that. It stressed me out. I mean, that's the point of it.
Mm-hmm. True. What about you, Andron?
I mean, the music's great. I wouldn't listen to it outside of it. I really liked, like, as you were figuring out the Colossus, like, if you did the right thing, the music would change to, like, that triumphant theme as you, like, started climbing. I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. We're going. It was, like, really cool. So any game that does that nice dynamic soundtrack, like, when you're doing things, like, I think I feel like they're a higher quality. You know what I'm saying? Like, they actually pay attention to what the player is doing versus just, here's a song. You know, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the controls and the interface of this game. Mox, I would like you to lead us off here and what you thought of the controls and how they were.
It's just, I like to play games where I don't feel frustrated and it feels smooth. And I know it's my fault, but the camera is awful to control. It has a very aggressive autocorrect, and I poured over those settings, and there's no way to turn it off. And it's like I'm constantly holding the right stick so that I can see anything, because the camera likes to do this dumb cinematic thing where it puts you, like, right up against the right edge of your screen, and you're looking, like, at the horizons, like, I don't know, halfway up the screen. That's not a helpful camera direction. I would like to see my whole character centered. I walked nearly everywhere rather than riding the horse, not only because the horse was frustrating to control, but also because I couldn't both spam triangle to get him to go anywhere and like direct him with the left circle, left stick, and then use the right stick to control a camera. There's not enough fingers there.
So I believe you can hold triangle.
No, it didn't seem to work for me.
Really?
It didn't work for me.
I held triangle. It seemed like once I got him going, I just held it and he seemed mostly fine, but
maybe I missed it. Yeah. I will say to add to Mox's thing though, like you mentioned earlier, like they brought it up with some modern adjustments, but I don't feel like they did. like some modern adjustments would be more accessibility options, and I don't feel like there were a lot of accessible options here. Like even for me, I don't have any muscular issues or anything like that. But if I did, this game would be extremely hard to play. Like holding down R2 for a long time, all those things are just tough, you know. So a lot of that does come from just like old gameplay design where they used to do things like this. And I get the faithfulness, but they could have easily improved some of these features and make it more likable. Like centering characters on screen wouldn't take away from the gameplay at all. Mm-hmm. You know, like that wouldn't hurt anything, right?
Or toggle, which may exist in the settings, I don't know, but like a toggle to grab.
I play this with my girlfriend because she loves this game on PS2, and I bought it for her on PS4, and we couldn't find anything like at all that helped with it. Yeah.
I did find myself playing in like a claw almost, like where I had like my, like I had to like use my thumb and my index finger at the same time and like not on the trigger, like on one of the face buttons. And like it was, but I did do that a couple times and that was kind of, frustrating. Also,
before we get to the horse, I tend to rest my index fingers on R1 and L1 just because that's where they go. And I have accidentally pressed R1 with my sword out so many times, not only because it's where I rest my finger, but also R1 is dash in like more than one game that I've played recently. And R1...
more than one.
I know. That's enough. R1, when you have your sword out, makes him start to raise his blade up to the sky in this like, I don't know, 1 second long, uninterruptible movement that I've accidentally pressed it because I want to dash away from an enemy attack. And you know what happens after I accidentally press R1?
What happens?
I get smashed by the enemy because I wasn't able to get out of the way.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sucks. Don't make non-interruptible movements. Just don't do it.
Now let's talk about the horse.
Oh, gosh.
I struggled with the horse. I think almost everybody did.
Yeah.
I didn't ride the horse because the horse sucked.
The horse was really good in open areas. But besides that, for me, I kind of avoided the horse because it would run into things. I had a trouble controlling it. And man, we've come a long way with horse control. Like just looking at, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2,
Red Dead Redemption
1, Ghost of Tsushima, Assassin's Creed, like, man, we've come a long way. Andron, what do you think about horse?
Sure. Epona wasn't that hard to control, right? And that was way before this remake. So my biggest frustrations with the horse is like, one, you press triangle once, it doesn't do anything. So you have to tap it and then... I felt bad after all. I was like, man, I'm beating this horse up, but it isn't moving. So let's go. And even at full speed, it's not that much faster than just walking. Like I probably should have done that. Mox had a good idea there just to walk around instead, because it probably would have taken me just as long, since when you start going into certain paths, the horse, like it's kind of hit or miss. The horse walks into the forest like, you know what? I'm gonna walk slow here. I can't go fast here for some reason.
That does happen.
I'm gonna go into this water that's like fairies. Nah, I can't cross that water. I'm not gonna do that. Nah. So it was just like fighting the horse, fighting the controls, you know, trying to get somewhere. And yeah, a lot of paths just leave the horse, go down, call him over. He can go down the path when you call him. He can't do it when you're on top of him for some reason, and then get back on. It's just frustrating. I dreaded the parts in between the Colossi because I had to get on the horse.
Yeah.
To get there. Yeah.
Mox, do you have anything to add about the horse? Yeah, go ahead.
You can mount him with triangle or X.
Yeah.
I don't know what the difference is. It kind of just says either one. But if you are using triangle, half the time he just yells Agro's name and doesn't get on the horse, even when the horse is right in front of me. Or if you mount at like a certain angle, he just stops moving. Everybody stops moving as he just has to climb onto the horse. And that takes like an extra 2 seconds. It was never worth it.
Yeah. And you had so much more control playing as Wander. So why, like, you really sacrifice a lot of that control to use the horse. Like, is it worth the speed? Not really, because he doesn't go, like Andron was saying, it takes him so long to get going, and it's so difficult. I do think the interface of this game, though, was really cool, because it was very minimal. It wasn't in your face at all, and it made the experience feel very cinematic, at least for me. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Before we get off the horse, though,
did you
guys do any horse tricks or try to do any horse tricks?
Yes, I didn't. It was hard. No. I couldn't figure it out.
So Tyler, basically, and it was hard for me too. Like, you have to hold one button, push like up, and then you can like stand on top of your horse, which does nothing besides look cool.
Oh, I did do that. I did do that. Yeah, actually.
So that was part of it, and I thought that was cool, but like, why can you do something that complicated, but you can't like just drive a horse normally?
Yeah, I used that actually to jump on a Colossus.
I guess that must have been the reason.
And it did help
because
it was raised a bit, and it made it a lot easier. There's like a health bar, and you have like a stamina bar, and the game doesn't tell you, but the way you bring those up is by finding, I guess this is like a minor spoiler, but by eating fruit raises your health, and lizards with blue tails that you kill raise your stamina bar.
Oh.
There's also...
Minutely. Yeah, you have to get a lot of them.
Yeah, there's also gold shiny things that you find. And I have no idea what those do. And I forgot to look it up.
Are they for the gallery? Like the image gallery? I didn't really check after I got them, so...
I'm not sure. If you know, let us know in the comments, or I'll look it up after this probably anyway, but I forgot to write it down. But I found a gold shine right away, and I thought, oh, it's yellow. It probably raises my yellow bar. But that is not the case. Okay, moving on here to...
I looked it up.
Oh, okay, give it to us.
This website is... Your reward is a glorious, disturbing-looking sword that takes a long time to get. Happy hunting.
Wow. So you get a...
79 coins.
Is it like a more powerful sword?
I doubt it.
Oh my
goodness. Not worth
it. Yeah, that's excessive.
Yeah. But Mox, you said, as far as performance goes, you said you had, when you tried to play on fidelity mode, you had some issues with frame rate, where maybe it went below 30 frames.
And that's really tough with this game.
Yeah. Did anybody else have any weird performance issues? Andron, did you have anything weird?
I don't know if it counts as performance, but there was a lot of like janky moments, like where I'd be on a Colossus is like grabbing on the fur, and then it turns slightly, and then I just go, whoa, 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 like, you know, just kind of go back and forth, like falling but not falling. So
it was kind of
awkward. And I was like, well, am I falling? Am I about to die? What do I need to do here? So I just held on R2 until it cleared. But there were a lot of like hiccups like that where I think it's just collisions like having issues, you know, which I guess is fine. But yeah, that messed me up quite a few times.
Yeah, I ran into that exact same issue, and I ran into like a weird one where my horse was like making weird movements, but I think that's part of the horse controls.
Yeah. Speaking of the horse controls again, because I like to beat a dead horse apparently.
Oh, oh my gosh.
I'm kidding.
God.
Basically, like the turning was also weird on the horse, because you had to do this huge circle. Like it wouldn't just turn right. You had to like make a whole circle, which I'm assuming is more realistic, but it's still during a fight where I need to turn and look at the thing. Like it just took me out of the game over and over. So anyway, that's it.
Yeah.
I had issues with, I was shooting fruit. I'm close up to the tree so I could see the fruit. I'm like aiming my bow and arrow. I'm either looking at my feet and not at the reticle, or the reticle is off screen and I'm looking and I'm like, where's the reticle? Moving my cursor around. Right. And anytime it starts to get in screen, my screen looks away from it. This happened more times than once. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's like you have your camera takes up physical space when you're aiming your bow and arrow, and then so it clips if there's anything nearby. And I don't understand why it does that. Why can't? Keep going.
So we're gonna throw on that spoilers tag so we can discuss the story openly. This game, it's a fairly simple story, at least in the beginning. Like we already mentioned, it's about bringing this person Wander, the boy wants to bring this girl Mono back to life, and he brings her to this altar and this temple that's like even like without just looking it up, you can kind of tell it's kind of like a forbidden area.
Well, they say it.
Oh, they do?
There's an open thing. Okay, yeah, they say the lands are forbidden.
And how he gets there is kind of crazy. Like, he goes on this long journey to get there, and he carries her. And he... I think when you go in is when Dorman shows up because he notices the sword. Or these, like, shadows come, I think, and you, like, raise your sword or something, right, Mox? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this evil thing called Dorman...
Whoa, it's not evil. Oh, we don't know it's evil.
This spirit thing called shadowy spirit thing called Dorman speaks to you, and he speaks to you in like a feminine tone and also like a masculine tone in the game.
It's like the voice actors are a man and a woman kind of speaking the same words, but they weren't given like cues about when to speak, and so they kind of speak at like off kilter in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
That overlap but don't coalesce. It's pretty cool.
It is cool.
It is cool.
And he tells you that if you want to resurrect Mono, that you need to search out these 16 colossi, and you need to destroy them, and that there will be a price for bringing her back to life, but he can do it, and that's the way to do it. And so you start off, and you go off doing that. And
he tells you the order.
He does tell you the order. He does,
which
yeah.
I don't know, the game, I thought it was kind of, knowing nothing coming into the game, I thought it was like, pick who you want to fight. And
ooh,
they're all kind of the same difficulty.
But it's not.
You have to go in the order they say, which means if you get stuck, you get stuck.
That would have been, and they probably do that to teach you like the language of the game and stuff, right? Like, oh, you can grab. Oh, you can do this. Oh, you can do this. You know, whatever. But... That would have been really cool, Mox. Do it at your own, like, just whichever one you want. I think in the new game plus, you can do that, I believe. Maybe not.
That would be so much better. Okay.
It's pretty cool.
But that would have been a really good idea. So, during this, there's like, after you kill each colossus, this, like, shadow goes into your body, and it teleports you back to the temple. And these, like, shadowy figures, which I assume are, like, the spirit of that colossus, like look over you
as you passed out reawakening, yeah, after you killed the colossus.
Somehow you got back, who knows how. And for the most part, that like that it just like rinses and repeats that until towards the end, and I believe it's like the middle and like towards the end where you start to see these I think his name is Amon, this like old king type guy who is coming to stop you from doing what you're doing, because over time you're noticing that Wander is like getting more, I don't know, how would you describe it, Mox, like gray, and do you know what I'm talking about? His body,
yeah,
like starts to get kind of
like you're not of this world anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. And so up to that point, were you guys like really into the story, or were you just kind of like were you more focused on the gameplay at that point, Andron? What was your driving factor?
Sure,
to go on?
It's hard to say I was like into the story because there was like it was sparse, right? Like it was kind of just a framing so I can go kill Colossus, you know. So I thought the story was interesting, but yeah, I was more focused on what's the next one going to look like, what's the next Colossus going to need me to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when the Emon thing started happening, I was like, okay, that's interesting. But yeah, up until that point in the story, I was definitely more focused on the gameplay, for sure.
I got stuck on the third one. I couldn't beat it. And so then I went to, which is my favorite way to watch gameplays, is game the movie. And so I watched this game, which in the one that I watched was like, it showed a little bit of the, how do you get there? And then the fight, and then the, you know, all the stuff after. And so I cared more about the story then, but there's really nothing until, like you said, about halfway through the game.
Yeah. And it's in the end when you really, when it really all comes together and unfolds and go ahead.
In the middle, gradually you begin to hear like the girl's voice, but it's like at first just her like breathing and then it's like her making like gasping noises, and then she actually starts to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then progress, sorry.
And then you start to put pieces together, and at the end they kind of tell you that this evil thing, or sorry, not evil, this shadowy spirit thing, Dorman, was like separated into 16 pieces. And that's why, and it's got this like black smoky soul stuff. And so that's why, that's part of like when you attack the Colossus, like this black stuff comes out, and that's like the spirit or whatever, this dark shadowy stuff piece of Dorman coming out, right?
And for each absorb.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with each piece that you are destroying, in theory, like Dorman is getting like stronger and stronger and stronger, or he's, because you're like, it's being stored inside you, but you're like, he's closer and closer to being unleashed, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
And what happens is that you, at the end, they don't get there in time, and you turn into, I think you turn into Dorman, right?
Well, even like kills your bodily form, and then, but you have collected enough pieces that you're no longer of this world. You are Dorman. You can survive.
And you can move and control him, which is pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
And that was really neat. And I feel like I was just mindless during that section. Like I was just trying my best, but I didn't know. Like I didn't have. Yeah. It's hard. It was hard to know, like, what's the objective here? Or is this just like a cool part?
I don't like gameplay like that.
Me neither.
it feels so clunky. And then you're like, well, I'm getting shot, so I should do something.
Yes. Yes.
But I also move slow, so maybe I'm just supposed to sit here. I don't know. Yeah.
I hate that.
I forget how he gets the sword, but he gets this ancient sword, the one that you had, and he throws it into this pool, and he like seals Dorman again somehow, and he does some magic or something. I don't remember.
He says
exactly
some magic words, and toss it into the pool.
And then he tosses it into the pool, and then you can try your best to resist, and you can grab on and stuff, but eventually your stamina gives out, and you get sucked into this like vortex. And then Mono comes to life.
Before you keep going, so that part was actually interesting, I guess, for the story, because you can like kind of struggle, and it's cool because like Wander's reaching, you know, as you're trying to go, reaching out for Mono, but you just end up getting sucked in. So I thought that was, you mentioned emotional stuff earlier. I thought that was probably one of the biggest emotional tones.
Oh, I forgot the biggest for me, something that actually made me shed a tear, which is when you go to fight the last Colossus, Aggro sacrifices himself so that you can make it.
We skipped over that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Aggro,
that made you cry?
Yeah.
Aggro?
Yeah, even though I had trouble controlling him, I still felt for him. He was there. He was there through the whole journey with me.
I think he's called Aggro. All right, anyway, bro, whatever. It was awful.
And one Wander's response to it is also like heartbreaking. He's like, oh man, come on.
Yeah. and then you think he's dead. And then at the end, he comes limping back on three legs. Aggro's back, baby. And he goes and he like, Mono like approaches him and like, you know, they meet and she like kind of calms him down or whatever, and they walk over, and what do they see? A baby with horns on its head in the pool of water.
And that didn't mean anything to me, but apparently it's a reference to that other game, Eco.
Eco.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It hasn't officially been said by the devs though, but it's highly suggested.
I'm pretty sure the creator confirmed that Shadow is a prequel to Eco, and then Guardian's a prequel to Shadow.
Gotcha. And that's the connection between it. also, like, Mono, like, takes the child with her, and they go to, like, this, like, really pretty garden, and I think that's kind of where it ends.
I will say the end was kind of weird because...
It was.
Like, it's almost like a Snow White moment, like, all these animals come up, they're, like, sniffing you and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's true.
Makes me think that, like, Dorman wasn't necessarily, like, a bad person, because why would the animals be like, hey, what's going on over here? Yeah, we're coming out. You know, like, that seemed more like, maybe it's more nature versus, you know, one of those things, which is another famous Ghibli theme, is like nature versus like industrialization, right? So I don't think they're going for that there, but it did feel more like, well, maybe what you became was more aligned with nature than evil or trying to destroy the world or something like that.
Gotcha. Well,
and I don't understand why anybody would think Dorman was evil. I mean, you have to go and slay these colossi that are destructive and they try to hurt you.
No. They if you like, they will not. They usually ignore you if you don't instigate them. Like, if you just leave them, they don't have any reason to come after you.
There's that one.
Sorry,
that
there is one.
Call like a guardian that's gone berserk and is like destroying stuff. So there is like, they're destroying something at least. But yeah, one thing is when you fight him, it does feel like you're just attacking him out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I'm like climbing on it. How does that mean I'm going to kill it?
Well, they don't know that. If something was climbing on you, like a little bug or something, would you smack it, or would you just let it climb and be like, oh, that bug, that spider's not going to bite me, you know?
Monster. I guess. But I'm also point. Like, I don't know. These are apples and oranges.
I don't know.
They're these giant things.
Have you noticed
what about the one with the sword?
I know you fought three, but and I know it might have been hard to pick up on, but have you noticed that the eyes are blue until they're not blue and they're orange? And when they're orange, they're like aggroed on you and targeting you. But if they're blue, they just kind of do their own thing. They don't really care that you're around.
They just seem destructive. They're enormous.
Yeah. I wish we knew more about like what they were doing, I guess.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, the world's empty except for them, so I'm assuming they destroyed everything.
Yeah, it's hard to,
They're all not right. Safe like a bird. You know, I bet they hurt birds just existing.
I need to skim what Austin wrote really quickly to see if he has any spoilers in here. I don't think he does, though. I'm going to say no. Okay, let's move on to personal takes. It is about that time, and let's start with Mox. Let's start with you, Mox. I know you only played three, but let's start with how you know. Tell us.
Well, it's why the worst kind of game is a game that's hard to play. Like, I don't mind if games are difficult, but if it's hard to play, then that's not a game. It's just like frustration. And so I really wanted to play this whole game. And I had thought, like, you could just go to another Colossus, but you can't. And so I beat the first two. It was tough, but I did it. I was really proud of myself. It wasn't fun, but I was like, whatever, I need to get through this game. And then on the third one, it swings a sword at you. And I can't tell you how many times I was totally obliterated by that sword because I accidentally pressed R1 or I, like, thought it was aiming towards me like when it started swinging, but it's actually aiming at you actively as you move. And so it was hard to tell like where it was telegraphing its attack towards. And I got squished so many times. And that one is the one that its armor like breaks off as you play. Yeah. And so you're like crawling on all sides of it, like in 3D. And I can't tell you how many times the camera looked at me through the thing. Through the Colossus. So I couldn't see anything. I don't know what I was supposed to do. And then I tried using the L2 camera to look at the Colossus. What did that do? Just like angle me totally off camera and like looked at the Colossus. And that doesn't help me. I need to look at me. And anyway, I'm like getting frustrated as I'm playing this, trying to figure out like how do I move my camera in such a way that I can figure out where to go next. And it also wasn't clear like where I needed to go. The other ones, like the two prior to that, it was like, okay, I need to go to this area and then that area. Or Dorman would give me the same hint. Repeated over and over again as if like I didn't hire you the first time. You don't have to tell me the second, third, fourth time. I'm working on it. I'm really trying my best here. Anyway, it was just so hard to play. I hate that I constantly fought the camera. No game should force me to not move the camera where I'd like it to be, but correct the camera where it wants me to be. And I couldn't play it. I think the game is like almost unplayable for people like me who have motion sickness, where I need the camera to be in a certain place. Otherwise, it makes me really sick to like see the character flailing around and not in the space that I like want to look at him and look at what I'm looking, like, trying to do. Ugh, I feel like I shouldn't give it a rating because I didn't beat it.
No, rate it, rate it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I'll give it a 5 because it does have, I like the story that is there. I like the kind of, it doesn't, like, you learn things as you go and it builds and there's more stuff that comes out towards the end, whereas at the beginning it feels like this is a nothing game. But gosh, it's just so hard to play.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, if you had like a, if you struggled with it, that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like you have, like, you weren't the only one who complained about the camera, you know? It's not a Mox thing. It's like other reviewers who reviewed the game also had problems with the camera. And I had some, and I'm sure Andron had a little bit too. Andron, what about you?
Okay. So I'll try not to mirror too much of what Mox said, but that is where a lot of my contention is. Things I liked, you know, the music is amazing. The atmosphere felt really good. Like, each biome, like the sand and the water and all that, were really fun. And they felt connected somehow. So, like, the environments and everything were nice. The story I thought was, you know, pretty original. I can't think of any other game that had a story like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the design of the Colossus themselves, like, they were really intricate. And maybe it's the remake that made them look more intricate, but, like, they're really interesting. They had, like, different features. I didn't like that some got recycled, kind of, just like a bigger version, but that was okay. You know, I get over it. Beyond that, the gameplay is what I would consider like a double-edged sword, right? Because the actual, when it works, it's really fun. Like, climbing up, finding the spots, you know, grabbing on for dear life, all that's really thrilling and fun, but it's offset by like really poor gameplay design choices, which could have been fixed in the remake version. And I know they're trying to be like one-to-one faithful. They should have taken those liberties and made it a better game. So one of my biggest gripes is, you know, when you get knocked down, it takes forever to get back up.
I forgot about that.
And it makes no sense at all, because you're like, especially the one of the later bosses, they start shooting stuff at you. If you get shot, you get hit down.
Yep.
You get back up, you get shot again, you're down again. You know, and the dodge roll isn't that great of invincibility. So it's like, all right, well, now this is a frustrating experience, where if I got back up just a second faster, it'd be, you know, a better experience. Or, hey, give me a button I can push to get back up quicker.
Yeah, you don't if you get hit once, they can just chain that and then you're dead, basically.
Yeah. There is no invincibility. You're just like, yeah. Just group. That's it. Yeah. You know? Beyond that, it's
Stunlock.
Yeah, exactly. Beyond that, it's you know, difficulty can come in two varieties, right? It can be from, you know, the actual game getting progressively harder, where, you know, there's a curve of that, or it can come from like learning the controls. Then as you learn them and master them, you become better. I never felt like I mastered the controls the whole time. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem to me, where I master controls pretty quick, like 10 minutes in, I'm like, I got this. I know where the buttons are. I know how to do it. I run off. I'm good. The reason Dark Souls is so good, and I hate to do that, is their controls are tight, but they increase the challenge for the gameplay. I think with a few tweaks, and I'll give some examples, like the whole pressing square and then pressing square again to release the attack. What am I doing? You know, trying to climb up, then you're pushing X, then press X again to actually execute the jump. Yeah. Come on. If I'm already pressing X, I want to jump, you know, point. But like priming them and then executing doesn't make any sense, when they could easily just make it harder to finish off the Colossus and make the controls tighter, you know, more precise, and do what I want them to do when I push the buttons, you know. And all of that combines into where I didn't find the Colossus as challenging. I found the controls to finish the Colossus as challenging, because I was constantly like, wait, what button was that again? I have to push this and then that. Okay. Got it. And then I do it. And then the game was over before I could actually master it, because it's also a short game. You know what I'm saying? So all that combined just makes it to where the gameplay could have been more satisfying if I wasn't waiting around, you know, for it to come back around to where I can jump on it. If I wasn't like falling off, not because I messed up or didn't manage my stamina, but because the button just decided, eh, you didn't push it in the right combination, now you're off, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or you clipped through something.
Yeah, or you clipped through something because you jumped and pushed it and it was like, eh, yeah, you did. You know? There's so many like frustrations that bring the score down for me. And the biggest thing, of course, is just, you know, I don't like constantly fighting controls, and most games that have that are bad games overall. This one is one of the few that I pushed through because I liked it so much. Outside of those controls, I pushed through it to finish it, and that's why I gave it an 8 out of 10. It's because,
oh my goodness,
if it was any more polished, it'd be a 10 out of 10. Like the controls itself, the gameplay decisions, all that. And also that guy that just random doorman, I guess, that tells you the hints as you're doing the stuff, like, shut up. You know, give me 30 seconds. Give me 3 minutes before you tell me hints. Let me fall off.
You can turn off hints, but then you turn them off altogether. I wish I could just say the hint once. Not again.
Because him constantly telling you, yeah, you need to get back up there. I'm like, I was up there. You saw me up there.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
You don't have to tell me, man. You're good. But yeah, it's all together. 8 out of 10. Again, the controls, odd gameplay decisions, and this idea of, they modernized anything? I don't think they did. They added like a modern control set, but they didn't change the elements that make it like more fun to play. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got you. I'm very similar to Andron in that I thought this game had a great art style, really good music. I like that it's fairly unique for the most part in the design of the Colossus, or the Colossi are very unique. I really like that. Some of them, they do share, like they seem recycled, but it's a very unique concept, at least. Climb on this big monster and kill it. To me, I feel like Breath of the Wild was inspired by this game quite a bit, as far as like the exploration and stuff. I don't know. I got that feeling.
Well, and the what are those? The beasts.
Yeah, and the beasts, the divine beasts.
Crawling
in
them and outside, and then you fight them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wish that the game would have been a bit longer, or that there was a direct sequel where there was 16 more that I could fight. Because although I struggled with the controls, specifically the horse controls, for me, like, I would have made, like, the stab, I would have made it a hold. Like, you hold the button in if you want to.
Any release.
Yeah. Same with the jump. Or, you know, or something. Or I would have made it where you, like, just tap to jump or whatever. But besides that, though, I didn't struggle too much. So for me, I feel like this would have, to me, this is definitely like a 9 out of 10 game. And I did play The Last Guardian right after it, and I was not feeling it at all. I did not like dealing with that Trico dog feather griffin thing. And it also was like pretty emotional, which I imagine Eco probably is also like, has a lot of emotion in it as well. But I don't know. I hope there's another one of these and not a Last Guardian or Eco. But, well, I haven't tried Eco yet. Maybe I would like that. But I was not a fan of Last Guardian. But 9 out of 10. Now we're going to read Austin's bit. He only played the PS2 version. But as you know, he just had a child. So he wrote quite a bit here about the PS2 version because he could not play the remake, understandably. So I'm going to read his bit. And then we'll close out. But before I do that, is there anything, Andron, Mox, that you wanted to add before I read through this here?
No. Proceed.
Nope. All right. Good to go. So I'll do my best here. I played Shadow of the Colossus on PS2, so I apologize for not playing the remake. However, my understanding is that the remake is incredibly faithful to the original, and I just had a baby, so I don't feel too bad about it. LOL. I found out about this game in 2007 while watching an old episode of X-Play on G4 TV in the age of when finding new, out there, games on the internet wasn't quite as easy as it is today. A game all about fighting giant bosses that you climb and pick away at their health like a pesky bug? I was immediately interested. My family had just gotten an HDTV, and I saw this was one of the few games on PS2 that supported progressive scan. So I picked up the game and a component cable. PS2 was already past its prime at this point, but Shadow of the Colossus looked pretty darn good. Sure, the frame rate would sometimes dip to what felt like less than 1 per second, but these moments were when a big lumbering monster was smashing dirt up from the ground right next to you, or right on top of you if you were unlucky, and just made the impacts feel even bigger. It also helped that this wasn't really a fast-paced game. Everything in this game was shrouded in mystery. Who is that protagonist? What about the girl he brought with him? What language is this voice from above speaking in? Why does it seem like a really bad thing whenever I defeat one of the Colossi? I remember after beating it, finding some people to chat with about it, and I had completely missed the mechanics for boosting your max health and stamina. I went scouring online forums, looking for lore or other secrets I might have missed. I just wanted more of this game. I remember thinking at the time that this, to me, was the first real example I could think of to present to someone as video games being art. In the years since, I have started the PS3 remaster a few times, but never played more than a couple of bosses. It's still fun and an impressive game, but there's something that's just so special about your first playthrough that I don't want to overwrite in my brain by replaying the whole game again. With all that said, let me break down my thoughts, and keep in mind that I'm working off of the PS2 version here. Gameplay works a lot better than I would expect for a game like this in the PS2 era. Ledge grabbing is not perfect, and can even be a bit finicky from time to time, leading to some frustrations. But once you're latched, the climbing mechanics work well. And damn, the black blood spewing from each wound is visceral without being gross. Finding where to go next is never too tough, and the guiding light of your sword, which is a cool mechanic for its time, and also just a cool part of the world. The graphics push the hell out of the PS2 hardware, and as I touched on earlier, this results in some extremely low frame rates. But this is a gorgeous display of the PS2's power, some of the little things I like. Everything feels cinematic, which goes very nicely with the epic scale of the battles you're facing. The Colossi have fur! I remember King Kong being celebrated on Xbox 360 for being able to see individual fibers of fur, and while this wasn't quite at that level of detail, it was still super impressive on PS2. The art style is unique and draws you in, and somehow the living Colossi fit in extremely well with the ruins surrounding them. The UI is simple and effective. You have health, stamina, and the boss's health, along with a pause menu without an overload of options, but exactly the options I want, like toggling widescreen, etc. You get a really good sense of scale during boss fights, with the camera pulling in and out just out at just the right times, and at least for me, the camera never really got in the way. The sound. My god, the music in this game is breathtaking. Battle tracks give you an intense sense of danger, while rousing themes coming in once you manage to latch onto a monster and start climbing to give you the courage to make it up to the top. All wrapped up with a track of sadness to mourn the creature after you've slain it. This is not the type of music I can just vibe to in my everyday life, but it is so fitting to the gameplay and the world in which it takes place. I don't know that everyone in the world will love this game, but I do think it's a game that everyone should try. I would give this a high 9 out of 10. I absolutely love it, and I wish I could forget everything about it so I could experience it again for the first time. It's interesting. I did not pre-read this, as you can tell from me reading it just now. And he brings up a lot of points, Andron, that you brought up, and Mock, some as that you as well. And
good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. 9 out of 10 from Austin. There you go. High 9.
I wonder if he played it again, because this is how I felt with Banjo-Kazooie. Mm-hmm.
Really? So you feel
I remembered it, loving it. You know, having that same.
You're talking
memory.
About Tui,
and then when we played it. It was like so
nostalgia
hard to
effect.
Play. I'm sorry. Yes, either one.
Yeah.
Like, I bet if he played it again, he would have the same frustrations we did.
We should maybe the end of the year we can do like a Austin revisit Shadow of the Colossus and tell us what you think episode. your homework is to replay Shadow of the Colossus slowly until the end of the year.
I think people had a lot more patience back then because like games were not at the level like Banjo-Tooie or Shadows of the Colossus. So it's like, well, this is the best of the crap out there.
So. That's fair. That is fair. All right. Well, that was a little dive and our take on Shadow of the Colossus. If you enjoyed hearing us discuss and want to join us for the next Video Game Club episode, stay put, because our vote just ended, and it was between Spiritfarer, LocoRoco, and the Trials of Mana remake. And the winner is Spiritfarer.
Yay.
So, thank you everyone who voted, and thank you everyone for joining us. Again, just as a reminder, you can catch us here on twitch.tv/bombchutv every 2 weeks, except because Spiritfarer is a bit longer of a game, it's going to be 4 weeks. So, the next stream will actually be on October 9th.
Oh my goodness.
I know, it's a while. And if you can't make the live session, don't worry, you can find it on YouTube, all major podcast services. Thanks to Andron, like we said before. And Andron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And Mox, I know you didn't finish the game, and I know you struggled, but thank you for giving it a try and joining us.
I tried. Thank you.
You did try. And Austin, thank you so much. Despite having a beautiful baby, you still were able to send us in some notes on your experience with the PS2 version. And we would like to assign you some homework to replay this game in some fashion by the end of the year. Or I would like to assign you that homework. And I'm curious if you would have the same thought.
I would also
thought.
Like to assign that homework. I will sign on.
And I'm Tyler. And this was Video Game Club, episode 55, Shadow of the Colossus. And we're out.